Hello, neighbors, and welcome to Haunted House Flippers. This podcast is merely a work of pure fiction, I assure you. Should you find any similarities to anyone living or dead, or to the experiences discussed, it is certainly only a coincidence. Since you've come this far, I recommend you listen with headphones whenever possible. But if that isn't an option for you, well, I won't judge. And lastly, if you've enjoyed this experience and would like to support the cast and crew while getting some rather interesting and unique rewards, please look for us on Patreon. For the rest of the details about the show, episode transcripts, links to social media, and merch, make your way over to our website at hhfpodcast.com. Thank you for your time. May your experience be splendid.
In the year of the plague, 2020, three friends embarked on a journey to create an audio drama that would bridge the gap between horror and comedy, unlike anything anyone had ever heard before.
Which is accurate only by the simple fact that this show didn't exist prior. Anyway,
scripts were written, lines were recorded, and each episode was painstakingly edited to become Haunted House Flippers. You had questions. We have answers.
Which I think might be somebody else's slogan. Oh well.
Without further ado, recorded live, sort of, and unscripted, I give you These Idiots.
How the f*** do I say this town name?
All right. Well, so we're recording, and this is a very impromptu and unscripted thing, and I'm very not used to unscripted anything. But welcome to the Haunted House Flippers Season 1 wrap-up. I am your host, I guess. I'm J.D. Laureate. I've got Missy Croft with me here.
Okay.
Oh, hi.
Oh,
and
hi.
I have Adrian Johnson.
Hello.
Yeah, so we wanted to do kind of this wrap-up thing, and we had reached out to you guys on social media and ask if you guys had any questions or anything that you wanted to ask any of us or about the show or to characters or anything like that. And we surprisingly got answers. You guys actually did ask questions, and that was shocking and much appreciated.
And you know, they were good questions, not just like, do you like peanut butter sandwiches? Which was also
that's
shocking.
A good question. I like to ask people, do you think a hot dog is a sandwich?
I hate you. I hate you.
It's a taco.
It is.
So season one wrapped up with 20 episodes, which is in fact 15 more than I thought we were ever going to make. I guess I can kind of start with the first question here, because it kind of all ties in. But the first question is, where did the idea come from? The idea of Haunted House Flippers actually started a couple years ago with a gentleman that I used to work with. And it was just a random office conversation. And we started joking about how funny it would be to be trying to flip a house that was horribly haunted. And we joked about random scenarios and funny scenes and funny things that could happen. You know, in the middle of like trying to renovate the kitchen and the dishwashers literally jumping around spitting dishes at people. And I'm just like, this would make a great story or a great TV show. And he was just like, take it, run with it. And I sat on this story for well over a year, and I tried to find a good medium for it. And the thing was, like, my brain immediately went to, yeah, I would love this to be a TV show. But believe it or not, neither myself or Missy or Adrian have the startup capital to make a TV show.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah. So Adrian had actually thought, you know, maybe we could try it as a stage play. And I tried writing it that way, and it just didn't do its thing. I tend to let things write themselves, and it just wasn't happening. And I tried writing it as a book. I am not skilled at writing prose. I write script, and that's about it. I kind of waffled back and forth, and then Missy reached out to me, see about being a guest voice on the podcast, Whichever Path, where I was introduced to Stephen LaFond and got onto that show and literally did like two episodes. And I'm like, this is perfect. This will work. So started doing that. I roped Missy into it because we've known each other for a stupid amount of time.
Yeah, God, we're old.
Yeah, Missy and I have we've written a bunch of scripts for shows before together, and I'm like, well, she's basically my other brain half. So if anybody can write this with me, it'll be her. But yeah, honestly, like, we all just assumed 10 of our friends that will listen to this will do like 4 or 5 episodes. We'll get bored with it. It'll be done.
Yep. And that did not happen, it turns out.
No. Yeah, 20 episodes. And people are mad that we ended at 20.
Now, granted, we have more planned before people start lighting torches and gathering pitchforks. So put them down.
Oh, the some of the messages I got after the final episode were just like, are you kidding me? You're ending it like that on a cliffhanger? I'm like, well, of course. It's a season finale. It has to be a cliffhanger. All right, let's see. Question 2. What happened to the new recorder beeps? They got retconned.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of people comment that when we changed Tom's recorder, that the new electronic sound was a little ear-piercing.
Yeah, and I feel like the click-click kind of became sort of iconic.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it feels like the show.
I absolutely, when you brought that up, I absolutely agreed with you. So we just quietly ignored it and just went back to the old click-clicks.
Hey, it's worked on TV shows, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how a retcon do. You just, nope, that just didn't happen.
Never happened. Never occurred. Yeah. We know not of what you speak.
Yeah. And, like, the thing is, you know, I probably could have made it so that they weren't as intrusive on the ears. But the thing is that I'm the only one who does the editing and the actual production of the show. And I do my best. I'm by no means a professional audio engineer. You know, I've got some background in it. And I do spend a lot of time getting the levels as good as they possibly can. When I was in school, I was told, you know, whenever you do a new recording, you want to listen to it on the best equipment possible and do all of your edits there. But when you're done, you want to listen to it on the worst speakers, worst headphones you can find, to make sure that whether it's an audio drama or whether it's music, that the listeners are still getting a good experience. And unfortunately, I do not have the time to go through and listen to it on various stages and then go in and make tweaks. I wish I did. I really do. So that's one of the reasons why about 4 or 5 episodes back, I changed up the disclaimer at the beginning. I was like, you really should listen to this on headphones and not in your car because it's not going to sound good.
I don't know. I listen to it grocery shopping when I am listening to the episodes before they're released. And I have trash headphones and it sounds pretty good on those. So
yeah, headphones, they do pretty well in general because it kind of kills off the background noise. But yeah, definitely headphones. What is your inspiration for the show and writing style? I'm a straight up just an idiot. Most of my inspiration writing wise is definitely BBC comedy. I grew up with Monty Python. I grew up with Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So like that's a lot of my writing style. Inspiration. I mean, it's basically the entire story and the town of Unkanunik, which I love the fact that Missy can't say.
Every time I'm like, how do I say this name?
It's basically inspiration between Twin Peaks and Gravity Falls, which has made Adrian very, very happy.
Those are two of my favorite shows, so I'm always happy to see little references here and there, whether they're my fault or not.
Yeah, like the watermelon carving that was entirely...
Yeah, that was my request. You took it and ran with it much more than I was expecting you to, but it was funny, so...
Happy Halloween.
Way too far.
We had to stop that recording for, I think, a solid 15 minutes because I could not get it together. It wasn't even my line. I lost it.
You were laughing so hard that Discord actually cut you out entirely.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you were laughing so hard, like, it literally silenced your mic.
It was just like, no, enough of this donkey brain. Like, we don't know what's happening.
Yeah, so what's often fun is I am notorious for changing the script like morning before, the morning that we're going to record.
And we cold read this. I probably shouldn't have admitted that. But yeah, we cold read most of this. So
no, actually, that's actually a question on here. Oh. Question 10. How long do you rehearse your lines before recording and how many takes do you do? The answer is we do not rehearse. I am fortunate and lucky if Adrian and Missy even read the script ahead of time. But we often just cold read. And there's a lot of times where by the time that we get around to recording, I've already written another like one or two episodes. So I often don't even remember what's in the episode or what to expect. So we break a lot.
Yeah. Sometimes we can make it to like the scene cuts before we break. But
usually. Usually. But yeah, Happy Jalapeen was not one of them.
No, it was not. Nope.
Neither was the Are You Mario or Luigi.
That's my favorite.
Missy was so mad at that one.
Because you snuck that in like literally as we were recording the episode.
Yeah. I think we took a quick break for something and I saw the line coming up. I'm like, oh, I've got a good idea for an update. And I made the change and you came back right at you're like, are you kidding me? That was not there five minutes ago.
Oh, man. It's an adventure every time.
Let's see. As a fellow writer, I know that my characters often change drastically between drafts and a final version or even over the course of the story. Did you run into this at well? That's actually a really dope question. I mean, the answer is absolutely. Like, they absolutely changed. I'm going to let Adrian and Missy talk about their own characters, but I will say that from the get-go, Janet is entirely different from how I originally wrote. Honestly, Tom is too, but Janet is drastically different, and Lee is an entirely different character.
Yeah.
Lee's not even the same character
anymore. At all.
No. Part of that was because of casting. So the concept of Tom and Janet were a spoof of like the HGTV shows where they're like, where they're house hunting and they're just like, oh, here's the Miller family. You know, Tom collects broken baseball bats and Janet color coordinates post-it notes and their budget is $14 million. And that was basically the idea. But Tom was going to be somewhat capable as far as tools and equipment. He was still going to be the fanatic over ghost hunting and having no actual experience in it. But Janet was originally supposed to be this, I am gung-ho to do anything. I've literally never done anything. I don't even know which way to hold a hammer, but I'm going to destroy this room and mess everything up.
I've seen it on YouTube, so I can totally do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And she was absolutely going to be a complete Karen. I'll let you talk on Janet as far as like how you kind of made her your own.
Okay. I mean, so like I don't have the voice to do any kind of like ditzy kindergarten teacher thing naturally. I think it would maybe hurt a little bit to just have a whole entire episode of me being like, but like I saw it on a YouTube video.
I think it would hurt me to hear you do that for an entire episode. I would have fired you.
So just, I don't know, naturally I just sound a little bit like Daria and have a generally, I don't know, sarcastic, salty streak. So it kind of came through in Janet the first time we read it, and it just kind of sparked something. And at first, like, Janet was kind of just this nasty wife, like just this miserable kvetch of a wife, and like a lot of the early reviews were like, oh my god, I hate Janet.
Yeah, Janet's so mean. I feel so bad for Tom.
She's so mean to Tom. Yeah. And so, I mean, which is fine. She was definitely absolutely kind of, you know, a total jerk in the beginning, but it worked for the story, I think. And it definitely worked to bring out the fact that, like, Janet grew, I think, from just this nasty, miserable, complaining person to a, you know, miserable, complaining person who definitely loves Tom and has her own interests and is definitely a little weird. I think it explained a bit more, like, why Tom and Janet are a thing, because they're both weird in their own ways. And Janet definitely became a little more rounded out than just the antagonist to Tom.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the things that really helped was when you wrote the tour guide episode, when we did the flashback to their first date. That definitely helped kind of set the tone for their relationship and how they interact with each other. And, you know, after hearing a lot of the complaints of, you know, oh, Janet's so mean, I'm like, I probably should write a little more about how she actually does like him, because they sound pretty miserable.
Yeah, well, that and, like, Tom is a total cinnamon bun, so I was like, if we keep going with this, like, eventually, I am gonna get, like, hunted down on the internet and destroyed.
Tom is such a sweet summer child.
He is.
He really is.
Adrian, tell us a little bit about Lee. Lee is very sus.
Yeah.
Lee is super sus. And that's the part that comes naturally. So Lee was originally a sweet old lady named Bea. I think you told me that was from Bea Arthur.
She was going to be a mix between like Bea Arthur, Betty White, as far as like cute and adorable, but also just snarky as hell.
Yeah.
But she was also going to secretly be an absolute veteran witch.
Yeah, and we dropped a lot.
We did. Well, I mean, first of all, was casting, because the thing was that my intent was that she was going to be a little old lady.
And then you cast me.
Well, yes, I cast you, who is in fact not a little old lady.
I am not.
But I decided to change that because as far as casting goes, unless you actually have an elderly person, it really comes across as it can be very, very fake sounding.
Yeah, and that would just be grating over the course of an entire series.
Yeah, and I didn't want a chance having it sound really, really fake. I mean, that's like having a really bad fake accent on the show, and I just didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
So we changed the character entirely. We changed genders, everything.
Yeah, and Lee has been written and rewritten.
Oh God!
Numerous times in terms of who and what they really are, and
And you all still don't know what they really are. You just know that they're not right.
I mean, nothing in this show is right.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, Lee is very sus.
I do love writing for Lee, though, because, like, I just kind of think about Sherlock Holmes when Sherlock is super salty. Like,
oh my God,
when
you're
he's
so
bored
right.
between cases and just gets really snappy at Watson. And just, mm-hmm. that's when I have to, you know, write for Lee, that's who I picture.
That's See, awesome. I just picture Adrian. Yeah. Because I just think, if I was talking to Adrian about this, what would his reaction be?
Adrian and is the master of snark, and it's beautiful.
As far as Tom goes, so Tom is based off of a character that I played at the Renaissance Fairs way back, and a character named Richter, who was an absolute bumbling idiot.
And a sweet cinnamon roll.
Yeah, yes. And a sweet cinnamon roll.
But like a musty, moldy one.
Bottom of the trash barrel cinnamon roll.
Yeah. The one that's kind of smushed in the corner.
Yeah. But yeah, I wanted to have this like childlike, not quite innocence, but childlike glee for the things that make him happy. And just how excited he is to be doing anything with ghost hunting, because it's such an absolute passion for him. And I just wanted to really bring out just how happy this makes him. And I love him not understanding certain types of humor, or just not understanding aspects of the world.
I love how passionate he is about his hobby. Like, I wish I had that kind of energy about my hobbies, right? Instead of like just,
I mean, same,
like half pick. I have like 12 half knitted hats. Like, I do not have his gumption for it.
And here he is staying up into the middle of the night to to try in this summoning circle one more time.
Right, yeah, in his taco cap.
The fact
boxers.
That he tries multiple times, too.
Yeah.
Like, he's really persevering, and it's pretty admirable.
Yeah,
right?
Like, for...
I can't believe I'm saying that about Tom.
I know. Like, for a cinnamon roll character, he's, like, got some really admirable qualities that I'm like, man, I wish I was as cool as Tom.
I just wish I was as cool as Janet when they first met.
You know, yeah, same.
Oh, man. So, like, Janet definitely became like my version of like who I would have a crush on. Janet is my ideal woman.
I mean, same. I'm not going to lie. The entire like tour guide episode, I'm like, yeah, I would totally personally crush and hit on Janet.
Yeah. The fact that like she's strong and she's edgy and like, you know, she's confident. That is my crush. I think like she's like a little bit Xena warrior princess, and like because yeah, Lucy Lawless was like my original TV crush, and
yeah,
like nothing's ever gonna live up to Lucy Lawless, but Janet is my poor attempt.
Where do you get your sound effects from? I make most of them. I make 90% of them because I hate looking for sound effects.
Well, especially when some of them are spelled like needle squawk-cher.
That's my favorite thing ever. The meetle chair. So there is a website that I use called freesound.org. It requires a membership, but it doesn't cost anything. You can donate to it, which I have done frequently. From there, it's just a sound database you can upload to. The downside to that is that there's literally no quality control. And so for scenes where you hear like a teacup being stirred or teacup clinking, I went looking for teacup sounds, and it sounded like somebody was just violently stirring and was gonna break the cup.
The angriest.
Yeah, like I could picture just the tea spilling out on all sides. Ugh. Yeah, it sounded like a mess.
If you remember this one, I'm like, I want the sound of tea being poured. It has a very distinctive sound.
Yes.
It sounded like somebody recorded they were going to the bathroom.
Oh no. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the wrong kind of tea.
It was very much too long of a stream from too high up into too big of a bowl of water, and I'm like, that is not what tea sounds like. I mean, you should know, you were working on a podcast while missing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Sound effects are a pain.
They're awful. They're so awful. I mean, like, they make the show, don't get me wrong. If you don't have them, it doesn't sound, it's not right without sound effects. But trying to find the one sound effect that you need out of the universe is painful.
And this is actually a good segue into the next one. Somebody asked, how long does it take to make a single episode? From start to finish, usually about 40 hours for me. I can usually get a script written in collectively in about a day. And then it takes us usually about twice as long as the episode to record it. And that's not because we do multiple takes. That's just because we spend so much time laughing our asses off and then just chatting. Mm-hmm. But usually a half hour episode takes about an hour to record. And then it's usually 30 or 35 hours of doing the audio production. I go through and I add all of the pertinent sound effects. So actually the first thing I do is I line everything up, and then I go through and I clean up all of us screwing up and getting that stuff out. And then I adjust the timing of everything. And then I put in all of the pertinent sound effects. And then I have to go through and add all of the ambiance and then all of the little, the tiny little nuanced sound effects. Because the one thing that I learned when I was in school for audio production, and for those of you listening that also do audio dramas and podcasts, I'm going to give you the same advice if you do not know this already. The most important sounds in your show are the sounds that the audience will not notice, because they will notice it if it's not there. So like if you go back to the episodes like where Tom and Janet are in the motel, you probably didn't notice that there is an air conditioning running the entire time. There's a hum in the background the entire time. You might have a TV on, like in room 315, but it's quiet and it's designed to just be background ambiance. And the point is to not notice it, but there's always, always, always something in the background. Because I've worked on other shows where, you know, the editor will put in the important sound effects, the sound of somebody walking or picking up a bag and unzipping it and rifling through it. And like those are the important sounds because they're important to the plot. But when there's nobody moving and it's just dead air, it breaks that realism of being in a scene. So that's why, like, whether they're inside or outside, there's always birds chirping. Like, I've literally gone out into my front yard, stood near the road, and turned on the recorder for like 3 minutes. So you get the sound of wind. You get the car going by. You get birds chirping. You get just the outdoor ambiance. I have a completely separate ambiance file for indoors and also indoors at night, because night sounds completely different. And those are the sounds you don't notice, but you would notice them if they weren't there. So that's my rant on making sure you have background ambiance.
Well, I think that it's definitely important. Answers the question we got of why do you only release twice a month? Because it takes a full week's worth of work to get one episode completed.
Yeah. And also, we're not paid for this.
Yeah. And we have to like work real jobs during yeah. the day.
Yeah. I wish we were making, you know, millions off of this.
I know. Maybe someday when, like, you know, Netflix picks it up and is like, we want to make this a TV show. Dear Netflix, we're available.
But yeah, no, it that's why, you know, that's I do not have time. We don't have time, no. You know, because Missy's written a couple of episodes. Adrian doesn't really write entire episodes, but he will sit down with me and help me write out, you know, various scenes. Or help me hammer out ideas or tell me when something is a bad idea.
Yeah, mostly I help with like the overall like arcs.
Yeah, Adrian's very good at continuity of being like, you drop the ball here or like, don't forget to tie this back in.
Which I'm amazed that we haven't messed that up.
Because we have Adrian.
I mean, we probably have.
Yeah.
Nobody's called us out on it.
Not yet.
But we probably messed something up.
Yeah.
We've definitely forgotten about a couple of things. And let me explain why. So when I started writing this, like I mentioned at the beginning, we were very much under the impression that this wasn't going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I wrote a couple of episodes that were just funsies. And then I had to write more because people wanted more and people were listening and our listener count was skyrocketing. And I kept writing. I didn't have an arc written out. I probably shouldn't admit this publicly, but I wrote every episode as a standalone thing and just basically reading previous scripts to make sure I wasn't screwing anything up. But I had very little notation of what needed to be covered in this season. I'm doing that for season two.
Yeah, we do have an arc now, and it's a very well thought out arc. And there's a lot of...
Oh, God.
There's a lot of things that you're not going to want to miss.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool stuff that's going to happen. Yeah. We've got a couple of really great guests that'll be coming back. You know, you're going to see plenty of... You're going to hear plenty of Rick as Lewis, because that's obviously happening. Let's see. We will have the return of Ozzy, who was one of our guests on episode 9-5.
Oh, perfect.
Yep. He will be back. I'm not going to say in what capacity. And we will have... my dear friend Tasha, who is listed as unknown ghost voice. She was that creepy child voice saying, do you want to come and play?
No, I don't, creepy child.
I don't want to hear more of you, child. How many people work on the show? Basically the three of us.
Yeah.
We don't have some big editing cast or crew or anything. Outside of the guest voices, it is really just the three of us. I would love to be able to find other people to help me edit, but both Missy and Adrian are like, we can't. You have a particular style.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And you'd probably be like me with that sort of thing where you could have someone help you with it, but then you'd be like, but they're not doing it right.
It's my baby. There's no way that I could let somebody else edit it.
Yeah.
There's no way. I'm just amazed and thrilled that I have never been late with an episode. You know, releasing mid-month, which is usually the 15th, and then on the last day, I have never been late. I have, in fact, uploaded the audio file the night before. I have been right at the deadline.
Still
I've
counts.
Never
Still made it.
Never missed it. Never missed it. What equipment and programs do you use? Well, let's start with programs because that's the easy part. So I do all the recording and 80% of the editing in Audacity because it's free and I'm cheap. And that's really about it. I have a secondary program that is absolutely hilarious. It's a program called Cool Edit Pro, and I've had it since college. the company went defunct in like 2007. So I actually managed to scrounge up my old install files. I have no idea how it runs on Windows 10. Honestly, I use that strictly for when you guys hear anything that's being done over the phone or over the radio, because it just has built-in filters. Audacity has something similar, but it's not quite right. So that is literally all I use it for. I use it for one filter, which apparently one of the Adobe suites has that same filter. And I'm like, I'm not giving Adobe a monthly fee.
No.
So I can use one filter. No. Absolutely not. What equipment do we use? So we started with really, really terrible USB mics, mm-hmm. or at least I started with a terrible USB mic.
Yeah.
And I don't even know the brand. It was some weird, it was like a $30 USB mic.
All right, to be fair, mine really wasn't that bad.
No, your USB was great because you had the Snowball. Mm-hmm. I upgraded to a toner USB, toner condenser. That worked great for a while. And then I was gifted a lovely Focusrite, which is basically a pro input device. It allows me to plug in XLR, but it's nice because it gives me a lot more control. So I've got the Focusrite and I am running an Audio Technica. I don't know the model, but it's a nice condenser mic. It's not crazy expensive. I think it was like $170. And Adrian usually uses an Audio Technica. It's a very expensive Audio Technica. It's like a $300 mic that I was gifted, but it's a dynamic mic. And Missy, you also have a Focusrite that I just gave mm-hmm. you. And I think the mic you're on is also Focusrite brand.
Yeah, it's a Scarlett, but I think it's a Focusrite.
Oh, it's a Scarlett. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, we're not running $1,000 equipment things. So like you can literally do all of this like on a good budget. Because we're also significantly poor.
Yes.
I'm not running a big expensive soundboard. Let's see, what equipment, how long do you rehearse, how many takes? We do one take. We already answered that. Do you believe in ghosts? Yes. Yeah. I'll let you start. I've been talking nonstop.
Okay. So I was raised Roman Catholic, which they don't really touch on ghosts. So like as a kid, I don't know, like I thought it was kind of weird that like I would see these like spectral people in my house, but like young me didn't really connect it to like a ghost until I was a little bit older and then was like, oh, this is probably creepy. And then I don't know, like it was something that like I grew up with, like seeing, you know, kind of like see through people, and like it was really easy to chalk it up to like, oh, well, you're a kid and these are like imaginary things or you're dreaming or things like that. But I mean, like it was experiences like all the way up until I moved out for college. And my mom, who had like never ever acknowledged anything or said anything about it, after my sister and I had both moved out and the house was like a lot more quiet, she started saying like, hey, did you or your sister like ever like feel XYZ or did this ever happen? So it took until I was like 21 for like things to really be talked about of like, hey, we had this experience, or like, hey, this thing happened and we can't really explain it, you know, like voices or things like that. So I do. And I think I always have. And even though I didn't have a word for it when I was younger, it's been such like a part of my life since I can remember that like it was never a question to me of like, do ghosts exist? Because yes, I really believe that they do.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I had a similar experience with my parents as well. You know, growing up, like I saw stuff all the time when I was little. I still vividly remember like the first time I really saw a ghost. I was probably 5 or 6 years old, and I woke up and there was someone standing at the foot of my bed, just standing there chilling out. And then I watched them slowly lower down at the foot of my bed and just disappear. And that's when I just started screaming.
Oh, man.
And for the most part, like it was always, no, of course there's no such thing as ghosts. And then like, as I got a little bit older, you know, my dad was the first to come forward and be like, oh yeah, no, this house is absolutely haunted. It's very, very haunted. My parents' house, for the record, was built in like 1770.
Yeah, my mom's house too is, I think, currently like 250 50 years old, like 225, yeah. 250. So I was raised in a very old house.
But yeah, no, I grew up with all kinds of weird stuff happening. I remember getting up one morning and came down. My dad was in the living room, and the living room is directly below my bedroom. And he looks at me, he goes, "What the hell were you doing all night?" I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Were you like rearranging your room? I heard furniture moving around all night." I'm like, "Nope, I was in fact sleeping and not rearranging." He's like, "Oh, well, that's neat."
Yeah, it was. We had like where my room was in like the upstairs of my house. There was like no more upstairs to get to the attic. So there was like these like weird small doors that you really had to like kind of. And I mean, like, I'm short and I had to crouch to get into these doors. And my headboard of my bed was kind of up against one of them because it was like the attic space and nobody really went in there all that much. It was like a bunch of just old stuff that nobody ever used stored in there. And I remember like waking up to somebody pounding on the other side of that door and like the whole thing shaking against my headboard. And like, it was funny because as a kid, I was never scared of the ghosts because they were always like these kind experiences. Like, I always remember like waking up to like this woman singing and like just it was very peaceful and very calm. And it was like as I got older, things got a bit scarier.
Yeah, pretty much every house that I've lived in has had some type of activity. Adrian, have you ever experienced anything other than you had the doorway thing at the old house?
Oh, the thing in the door?
The thing in the door.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, I don't know how much that is just ghost activity or if it was sleep paralysis, which kind of crosses the line sometimes anyway. Yeah, it never came in the room. It would just walk past the doorway.
Yeah, and see, I don't think it was a sleep paralysis thing because we've had guests that stayed over that saw it too.
True.
All right, let's move on here. Why are there 0.5 episodes? So that's a fun story. Originally, the .5s, the shorts, I mean, to start, they were supposed to be short.
Yeah, and then they stopped weren't. Being short.
They stopped being short.
Right? Yep.
The idea of the shorts originally, which is why that disclaimer was there, was that they were supposed to be just side stories that didn't actually have anything to do with the plot. It was we had a couple of just some entertaining ideas, some of them funny, some of them spooky, of things that we wanted to record. Just random scenes that didn't fit the narrative, but we still wanted to do them because we thought they'd be fun. And so we'd have like the tour guide episode. It's only relevant as in it gives you a little bit of backstory about Tom and Janet, but it has nothing to do with the story we're telling. The first radio show episode, we were going to do the radio shows as like a funny thing. The radio show originally had nothing to do with the main show. Big Daddy Louie had nothing to do with the main show other than he was the radio DJ. And so that's goes back to our character change stuff because that was not intentional from the start. But yeah, that was the idea. And like, I've got a couple of other little side stories that I want to do that fall into that kind of side episode thing, but they evolved and they became They were still not direct in the main story's timeline, but they became more relevant. And they started to be used as like, let me tell you a side thing. But it's probably going to tie in later. All right. Going forward, season two, there will not be 0.5 episodes. We're still going to do two a month. I'm just not going to call them 0.5s. I'm just going to label them episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on. They're just going to be normal episodes. And if they don't have anything to do with that linear timeline, too bad. It is what it is. I'm telling a story. It's my story.
Enjoy
it. I'm going to do what I want. And Missy writes stuff too. She's going to do what
I want. I don't know. You guys seem to have enjoyed it so far. So,
yeah. See, I've noticed you always use they, them for Lee's pronouns. Is Lee canonically gender neutral? I will let Adrian answer that question.
I mean, I think yes. Partly because the character was originally female and then was cast with me, and we just kind of like found the medium of they, them. But yeah, I would say that they are canonically.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would absolutely agree with you. And that was one of those things that, like, I kind of let you take over that, and we started rolling with the gender neutral. The three of us are very much LGBTQ plus allies, you know, speaking for myself and for Adrian. We are very much in that umbrella. If nothing else, I know Missy is very much an ally. We are very, very positive on all of that. But yeah, as soon as we had kind of changed Lee's gender or the character's gender, and we decided that we wanted to make them really as innocuous and as suspicious as possible. Mm-hmm. Having them have no gender was not only perfect for the character, but also I really liked having that inclusion in the show.
Yeah.
It came naturally. You know, I always appreciate audio dramas when they have a good queer cast member or characters. It always bothers me when it feels really forced. And I really liked that this felt really natural. And there have been a couple of points where I kind of wanted to have Tom address the pronouns that are being used. And it never felt natural. It just felt more natural to just treat it the way that it should be treated of, yeah, that's just the pronouns that they use. Just, yeah. We just go.
I think that's like the, yeah, it's the ideal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're, since we're kind of writing our own fictional universe, we can shape it however we want.
Yeah.
So the ideal becomes the reality here.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was why, like, when I wrote the characters of Juniper and Opal, I wanted an adorable lesbian couple. And I wanted it to be so normal that neither gender is questioned, that their sexuality is not questioned. It's just, this is me and this is my wife and it's two women, and both Tom and Jenna and any other characters interact with it, they go, okay, you're a married couple. That's all that matters. Let's see. Will you ever explain the smaller strange occurrences like the casket in the basement, or are you just going to leave us hanging? No.
So we have answers to a lot of those questions. Like, we as the writers kind of know where it came from. I don't know that it's going to come out. I don't know. We'll kind of have to see where that goes, I guess.
I personally love when shows and media don't answer every question. Yeah. Because I think leaving the audience to kind of formulate their own answer or theorize is so much more valuable than just telling them, you know, what's what. Yeah. Like, we've referred to Twin Peaks in the past on this show. And that, I think, is a perfect example of not telling the audience everything, mm-hmm. or much of anything in that case. But, like, it's left fans theorizing for years and years afterwards. And I think there's a lot of value in that.
Yeah, I think it comes down to something like, you know, you take Stephen King's book, It. And in, I guess, spoiler alert, in the book, when they go down to the sewer and It reveals its true form, it is like this indescribable horror. And because it's relying on the reader's imagination to fill it in, it becomes a terrifying thing tailored to each individual. And it's really like one of my favorite ways to be like, this is how you horrify somebody without telling them what they're horrified by, because you're letting them fill in the blanks. But then you know, translate it to a movie, and in the original movie it was like this stupid spider with, like, you know, shop lights on its belly, and like, to me it was such a letdown.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, so I think, yeah, like, not answering things or letting people kind of fill in their own pieces a lot of times works in the favor of the medium that is telling the story.
And, you know, it's like, you know, there's a lot of things that we don't describe. Like, we put a lot of detail into the surroundings, into the house. Other than Lee's clothes, we've never described any of the characters. We've never described what Tom or Janet look like. Does Tom have facial hair? Is he clean shaven? Does he have long hair, short hair? What about Janet? You know, we'll never give you that information. We want you to have a particular vision in your head.
I'm curious what people think they look like, because, like, I have a particular vision in my head of Tom that I think is adorable, and I'm not going to say it because I don't want to color people's perception, but, like, I am curious what people think the characters look like.
Yeah, I would love to get some fan art, honestly.
Yeah. Because I definitely have my mental image of the characters as well.
Like I have...
That I'm not going to
share.
I know.
I will tell you, like, once we're done recording, like, how I see Lee, because I love what I see for Lee as well. But again, I don't want to color people's perception. But I am curious what people are picturing when they're listening to these characters.
Yeah. But yeah, like Adrian and what Missy said, there are going to be some things that we're not going to explain. And the other thing you got to keep in mind, too, is that the story is being told through Tom's recorder. The recorder is not on 24/7.
I feel like my inner Janet went, oh, thank God, when you said the recorder's not running 24/7.
All right, we're coming up to the end here. We got two more. Why do you only release twice a month? Hey, we already answered that question. Because we have real jobs. Yes. And we don't get paid for this. So if you guys want me to release, if you want us to release more, give us money.
But like a lot of it.
Yeah, it would have to be a lot. It would have to be a lot.
Like, we love doing this and stuff, but you know, for us to stop working, it would have to be you know,
a substantial amount.
If there is, like, you know, some sugar mamas and daddies out there, then we'll consider it.
All right, last question. Would you consider releasing extra episodes for Patreon subscribers? No. No, I wouldn't.
See, we do not have time.
Yeah. See, the answer to the previous question. If I had the time, I would love to. I really would. I would love to do a Patreon subscription and really give you guys something cool and extra. We've toyed with the idea of a Patreon. I love doing this because people enjoy it and it makes me happy. It makes us happy. You know, getting the feedback from all you guys about how happy it makes you is more than worthwhile. But, you know, if people want to do a Patreon subscription and sling us something, you know, we might be able to come up with some rewards now and then. What I'd like to do is, you know, come season two, at the end of that, I'd love to do this type of thing live. And we could do something with our Patreon subscribers where they could be a part of it or be able to be on the call with us and interact with us and that kind of thing. But otherwise, yeah, unfortunately, no matter how much you donate in a Patreon, it doesn't give me any more time to make anything. So I'm sorry. Oh, another thing. We will be having some merch coming season two.
Yeah, sweet.
We just got to figure everything out. But we do have some merch on the way. We've got some really cool merch. Unless Adrian or Missy, unless you guys have anything else you want to say.
I guess just thank you guys for making this what it is. None of us really ever expected it to go this long, this far, or have as many people listen as we do. But it's amazing. Yeah. And a little bit scary, honestly, thinking about how many people around the world have both heard my voice and probably want to kill Janet. But I am very honored that you've spent your time listening to it.
Yeah, it's been really exciting to see all of the engagement and responses that we've been getting. I'm personally not surprised that it kind of took off. JD has this tendency to undersell himself a lot, but I knew this was going to be something special, and I'm really, really happy to see that it has proven to be so.
Yeah, absolutely. Cannot thank all of you enough. We love you guys so much. Your interactions, your reactions and responses to the new episodes when they come out, and your excitement for them, that is absolutely what drives us to keep doing this. And it means the world to us. Mm-hmm. And we're so excited to do season two. We are going to take a short break before we start releasing, but it's not going to be long. We're going to do a 2-month break. As long as nothing happens, I'm going to be releasing the first episode of season two right where we started. I'm going to release it on Halloween. That doesn't mean that I'm actually taking a break. I'm just trying to have a bit of a backlog ready to go so that I have a couple episodes ahead. I did that at the beginning. We didn't release until we had 3 full episodes, which I'm so glad that we did, because life got in the way. COVID happened. Depression happened. All kinds of stuff got in the way. And suddenly I was finishing an episode and releasing it that night. So, yeah. That is the plan, is to basically get a couple of episodes done, and then we'll get them going. But we won't take a long break. I promise.
Yeah, we're going to miss you guys as much as hopefully you're going to miss us. So.
Yeah, I think we'll wrap this up here. So, yeah, once again, to all the listeners, everyone, all across the world, which, God, that's weird to say. all across the globe, all of you listeners, thank you guys so much. And so I think that's good. Thank you guys. Hey, you know what? Until next time, remember,
if you've got it,
haunt it.
Nerd.
Haunted House Flippers is an original podcast written, produced, and managed by J.D. Laureate, Melissa Croft, and Adrian Johnson. We can't thank everyone enough who supported an amazing first season, and we will be returning to all of your favorite streaming services on October 31st. Stay tuned, everyone.